Well, hey there. I'm Lauren Dimmitt Waters, and I'm a New York City-based blogger and influencer who's been covering beauty, style, and lifestyle for what seems like forever. But now, I'm a woman in midlife who wants to discover all of the secrets to growing younger. I'm ready to explore topics that deal with health and anti-aging, especially when it comes to beauty, fashion, wellness, and longevity. I'll find the foremost experts to unearth what's new, what works, and even what you shouldn't waste your money on. I'm on the hunt for the latest and greatest discoveries and strategies to help us all get through this journey called life with a little humor and a lot of attitude. I want to keep fighting the fight so we can all grow old ungracefully. So welcome to Beauty is a Bitch. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Beauty is a Bitch. My guest today is Dr. Hanny Sino. He's a distinguished plastic and cosmetic surgeon based in Montreal. He offers transformative services at his clinic, Victoria Park Med Spa. With a background shaped by witnessing the impact of war-related injuries, Dr. Sino specializes in reconstructive surgery, particularly for breast cancer survivors. His commitment to natural results and patient-centered care has made him a sought-after expert in procedures like rhinoplasty and facelifts. Backed by extensive training at McGill University and Harvard, Dr. Sino's experience, expertise, and compassionate approach have earned him recognition of Canada as one of Canada's top plastic surgeons for over 5 years. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Lauren. I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate the opportunity to be part of this.
Well, thanks. I'm really, really interested in the topic that we are going to talk about, which is centered around AI, because it seems to be infiltrating every aspect of our lives. I'm noticing it more in a younger demographic, but now it's also starting to affect the middle-aged demographic like myself. So can I start with my first question, which is, how is AI transforming or influencing plastic surgery?
So AI has been and is transforming plastic surgery for sure. There's no doubt about it. Whether the natural aesthetic dynamic static lines, whether it's proportions or symmetries, whether it's the perfection of the porcelain skin that we see with the AI renderations of people's normal faces, people are aiming for these so-called perfect AI results that are, I would say, perfectly imperfect. It's deterring them from what natural beauty can be or what should be. So a perfectly symmetric face, for instance, is not by definition a beautiful face, but AI would take it as to make it a perfect face, a symmetric face. A small example like that. We're seeing AI change people's perception of what real beauty or what natural beauty should be. And this is across the board, whether it's the younger generation or a middle-aged generation, as you were mentioning, even in the older generation. What is key, though, is that we are seeing a hypersensitivity to aesthetics in people younger and younger, and they are coming and seeking plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery or treatments younger and younger, specifically because of filters, which is a form of AI, and now flat out 2024, we have full-on AI imaging.
I find that I knew it was happening with that age group. It's very evident. We've been covering a lot about how even tweens are buying anti-aging products at Sephora and the like. And I find that disturbing. But what do you think this is going to have to, how this is going to affect aging for this young demographic that already seems to fear it? And it seems also to be trickling from that, because they're also putting down aging, it's also affecting women in my age demographic, which is the midlife demographic.
Yeah, Lauren, I have an 8-year-old daughter. And so her wish 6 months ago was to go to Sephora.
Yep.
And she came back with, I wasn't there with her, she went with her grandmother. And she came back spending $150. Thank you, grandmother, for spoiling my kids.
That's their job.
But you know, we need to teach them also the value of money. But nonetheless,
right, I agree.
A different topic.
Right.
Yeah. So she comes with all these skincare routines that she has seen her friends doing. Now, my daughter She doesn't have social media, but she does post within just her six friends on TikTok. So she does have access to those filters. And all her friends are using these products, different whatever product it can be, and we can talk more about that. And the specific products are creating a trend of younger people looking older than they should. Not just because they're applying more makeup or product, but because of the potential damage that some of these products can do on our little girls' faces or little women's faces. And that's the reality that we see.
Sorry,
Lauren, one last mention is I was interviewed 2 weeks ago on a prominent American journal to discuss why do younger people look older now? And I think one of it is because of the excess makeup and caking effects and damage of the skin. So please, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say, we actually just did a podcast on this, on the same topic, because I find it so disturbing, but not just because little girls are ruining their skin and applying retinols and vitamin C's and things that are not meant for their skin. But also because it's sending a message that aging is to be feared. But I didn't know that they're looking older. And is that their goal? I thought their goal was not to age.
Yes. So you remember us when we were kids, we always wanted to be older.
Yes.
So it's the same type of situation going on now. They're applying makeup, they're changing their hair color, they're putting all these creams so they could look more mature. I'm talking about the preteens, you know?
Yes,
Unfortunately, we have to talk about it because they're hypersensitive to beauty now, which wasn't the case when we were growing up.
No.
So we are definitely seeing this. Gen Zs for sure, the millennials for sure, and all throughout, Gen X and even the baby boomers, they're experiencing this artificial aesthetic field of filters and AI. You know, just yesterday I saw a patient of mine. She came for her lip injections, and she showed me her an image of what she wants to look like. She didn't show me a picture of a model or an actress or a friend. She showed me her own picture rendered in an AI software.
Oh my God!
And this was her profile picture on her Instagram. And it was a complete catfish. Like, she completely looked like a different human being. And she told me, make me look like this.
Wow. That was going to be beyond lip injections, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, she looked completely different, like a different human.
No, it's true. I have been walking, you know, like in a grocery store. It wasn't in my town, thank God. It was in a couple towns over. And I remember vividly last year seeing a woman walk towards me that looked like like a walking filter, and it just took me aback. It was just so weird looking. So, and I take it this is happening more and more, which is frightening. I mean, now we're going to be walking around with like animated fake people among real people. And it's, you know.
Absolutely, Lauren. You know, it's the more that we're seeing the younger generation going into the virtual reality gaming industry, and you're seeing all this type of artificial skins, you know what, and games that people are using, and you're seeing this exaggerated cheeks or lifts or eyelid, cat eyelid, or a snatch jawline, big lips. So it's kind of like these hentai anime type of visuals are over exaggerations of normal human characteristics. In fact, the cartoon hentai comes from the Japanese cartoon. Comes from a morphalization and humanization of a cat. So if you see how Japanese cartoons are, their eyes are always huge. That's obviously not rendered of the cultural. It's rendered from a cat. So they have this cartoon cat eyes, and they're huge, and they make their cartoons look like that. So it's really an over-exaggeration of what normal is. And unfortunately, people are thinking that could be the norm, and they're seeking it.
You know, with all the mental health issues going on right now, I see this is just feeding into it. But that brings me to my next questions, because now obviously it's leading to body dysmorphia. So where and why can't people see the difference between real and fake? Like, how can they see it, and why do some people not see it?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a generational aspect. It's a educational aspect and it's a gender aspect. Okay. So just quickly, if you, you know, if you think about men versus women, and there's actual studies about this, that apparently a man could be looking at his face up to 100 times a day in the mirror, which is obviously different than generations in the previous, but a woman's looking at her face thousands of times in a day. So a woman will notice some subtleties in facial morphology more than a man could. And so that's what it can create some disharmony at home when a woman comes super happy, she did her hair, and her husband or significant partner doesn't even notice that she changed her hair color completely from blonde to brunette or vice versa. So it's a gender thing. Men are just not trained to look or perceive or these situations. However, the subconscious mind will always perceive them. And that's what we look for. Because although you can't look at your significant other and say, oh, baby, you're blonde today. But you will say, oh, baby, you look good today. You know, so the subconscious mind will see what our conscious mind doesn't. But okay. The AI and the exaggerated software is bringing our conscious mind to the, as you said, the dysmorphia of uh-huh. aesthetics. Now, a lot of people are uneducated of what natural should be and what the proportions and symmetries should be. So that's, there's definitely lack of education. So for instance, having too much of a cheek augmentation is going to create a abnormally effect. As you said, people may look older or even younger in an abnormal way. So a walking filter in the supermarket because she had all this over-exaggerated look. And the younger generation also, they're getting that too. They're thinking that's what normal is. That's what beauty is, this cartoon look. And that's what they're seeking from us.
So this is going to be a mass problem if it's not already. I mean, it's really screwing up the kids' heads. And I see it's starting to happen. Older women as well, older meaning like 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50 on up. That's really frightening. How does one see the difference? I mean, let's say that you are kind of, you don't know body dysmorphia is happening to you typically when it's happening. I've had it before with my weight and the way my body looks in the past. And it's scary that it can happen. So how does one like tell the difference?
Yeah, it's a great question. So obviously we're not all psychologists or psychiatrists. We don't all have access to a trained professional. Disorder by definition means that it's affecting your day-to-day actions and function, and it's impeding your ability to be in society and live. So it's creating a disorder. So a body dysmorphic disorder is that you're not able to live your life because you're preoccupied with a specific physical abnormality or shape or renderation of your physique, your aesthetics. So it's not always a disorder, but it definitely can be a high preoccupation right. In many people because to become a disorder, usually it's to the extreme, which I believe it will be increasing. I'm not denying
right,
that.
Right.
But that's kind of I'm just going to throw a percentage. Let's say that's maybe 5% of the population. We still have maybe 50 to 70% of the population that are having over preoccupation with the situation. Maybe it hasn't become a disorder. They're still able to function, but they're extremely anxious and they're all on Vyvanse or medication. And this is definitely something I have seen in my practice in the past 7 years. Even before the Zoom phenomenon with COVID, I see every single patient that comes to me in my practice in the ages between 18 to 27 is on a type of anti-anxiety medication.
My God.
I maybe exaggerate by saying every single one, but I would say the majority are. And they all mention, you know, past medical history, anxiety. What are you anxious about? You're not going through war. You're not going through famine. You know, there's a beautiful saying that I have because I'ah a child of war. Tough times. This is when I say man, it's man and woman. Right. Tough times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. And now we're living in the good times. You know, here at least in North America, in the Western world, we haven't felt hunger. We haven't felt war in where we're living. So we don't have like the anxiety that we're feeling. Unfortunately, it's self-inflicted on these small, minute situations where oh, he did not follow me because of this picture, or I have to see this wrinkle that's extremely bothering me, or I come for a nose job and it looks amazing. However, in that one specific angle, when the lighting is like this, I don't like my nose. And this is our reality. This is not an exaggeration, Lauren. I'm seeing this on a day-to-day basis.
Oh my God. You can't see me, but my hand is like over my mouth. I'm in shock. I mean, this is just because the mental health implications are staggering. I mean, we're seeing it. I'm also just seeing it in the interactions between that age group with other people, like the lack of respect, or you're just respected. Everybody's like hypersensitive. And like, I come from a generation where we're like Teflon, like we were raised feral practically. So, you know, it's like, I don't even let my kids, I don't indulge that. I try not to. And I'm sure my parents would think that I am compared to how they treated me. So, oh my gosh, this is just, I shudder to think what it's going to be like in 10 years from now.
Yeah, really, it's our role as leaders in the community, as parents, and congratulations on your podcast, Lauren, because you are a leader and you're creating awareness of this. You're welcome. Of this major issue that we're living and that we are going to be seeing unfold in the future. It's up to us to educate people, educate our children, and be their advocates to what normal is, and to empower them with their own bodies and with their own souls, so that they could be ready for this crazy life.
100%. And I mean, you're only a child once. Be a child. You know, I tell my children that, like, my one son wants to get a job for the summer. And I said, you're a child once. Be a child. Like, you're going to be working. Once you start working, you're working the rest of your life.
This morning, my daughter said she's 11. She wants to babysit to make more money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And she's a baby herself.
She's a baby. Yeah.
Oh, they're trying. I know. But I remember even my mother saying, you all try to grow up so fast. And we did, but we did it. I shouldn't say, I'm sure there are people, I remember like anorexia, but it was a type of dysmorphia. I knew some people, it wasn't rampant. It's not like it is today. And I just fear what the mental health implications are going to be. So this brings up my next question then, because how do you balance patients' requests with what would work best for them aesthetically? And like, do you say no? Like when the woman came in and said she wanted to look like her Instagram photo, what do you say to that?
Absolutely, Lauren. This is the job of our ethics. We all have ethical, you know, we have like a good angel, if I may say, and maybe a bad voice talking to us. As medical providers, we have the ethical obligation to be objective and to be honest with all our patients and clients. So we have to talk to them about what is normal, what is the studies to show what are the adequate proportions for their face or symmetries that they need to have, not based on the photo that they've brought to us. So this is even before AI. People would bring us pictures of on the magazine, and we have to tell them, well, I can't give you that nose. It won't suit your face.
Right.
So it's still up to us to do that. Unfortunately, we don't see a lot of that in the community because there's a lot of people doing aesthetics these days. I'm not going to single out just nurses, but nurses and doctors. You know, I know a neurosurgeon that does cosmetic injectables now. I know a lot of anesthesiologists are doing it, gynecologists. So it's not just the plastic surgeons that are doing aesthetics anymore. It's really multiple different specialties that are not specifically trained in that field. And so they may not know the proportions, specifically the dangerous stuff that could occur, such as blindness or embolization, necrosis. You have to know the anatomy very well. So not just the proportions, symmetry to give you a natural result, so you wouldn't look like a walking filter, as you mentioned, where people are going to look at you weird because you don't look good despite you getting all those treatments, but also the implications of having something dangerous occur to you by getting those treatments done by an untrained professional just to save a few bucks.
Yeah. You know, it's, I'm always telling when asked, you know, I get asked for advice. I want to get Botox, filler, whatever. And I said, please go to a plastic surgeon or a cosmetic dermatologist, somebody that's studied the face, knows how the muscles work, you know, knows the face. I would never let a nurse practitioner or somebody that does anesthesia that I know did not focus on the face put that in me. And I just implore women and men to pay the extra money and make sure it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely, Lauren. You should not cheapen out with any medical procedure. Now, this is to say, of course, there's a lot of excellent aesthetic nurses out there. There's a lot of excellent doctors out there. But but don't seek them out just because they're less expensive. Go to someone that you feel that you have trust in. They, like you said, they have the background for it, and see the results that they give. See their before and afters, and feel them out. See, you could feel if someone is going for you, just wants your money, sees you as a client, or sees you as a real patient, as a real human that they want to help and be part of your aesthetic journey, as opposed to just give you what you want, take your money, and never see you again.
Well, you know, and they will. If one doctor says no, I'm sure they'll find one that says yes if they keep looking. I mean, I live in New York. I know that for a fact. You kind of answered this, but I know you see some patients and I'm sure some come in with extreme requests from AI filters. Like what are some other ones that you're seeing? Like what's, and is this happening? What would you say the frequency of this is now as opposed to like a year ago?
Oh, a year ago, we didn't have any AI images that people would come with. Like it's just brand new. It's the past year. Before a year ago, so between, I would say, COVID, like in the past 2-3 years before 2024, I would see a lot of patients coming with filters. So it's a form of AI.
Right.
And the filters in the past 3 years, past year is different. Let me just move a little bit further. Past 3 years or so was more based on the upper face, if I may say that.
Okay.
So it's like the top type kind of upsloped lateral brows, the fox eye or the cat eye. The higher cheeks. In the past year, we're seeing a huge trend of that so-called snatched jawline. Everyone wants a snatched jawline now. So it's definitely something that the AI software is kind of creating for patients. So the neck area, the jawline, the frequency of face and neck lift surgeries for me, which is in the older patients, has increased, I would say 50% in the past year, in 12 months. I suspect it's because of this increased jawline emphasis. People are looking at the neck and
You're saying you're doing more for middle-aged people?
Yes, so I'm doing much more injectables for the younger patients because they want that snatched jawline. For the young middle age, I'm doing a lot of lipo, high definition jawline contouring to give them a snatched jawline. And for the older patients, I'm doing face and neck lifts.
Well, oh boy. Well, I mean, that part I understand, but I do you think that the upper face was because we were all on Zoom so much during the pandemic? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. The Zoom phenomenon, we call it in plastic surgery.
We all did. I remember being panicked because I was on Zoom so much and I didn't like what was looking back at me either.
Yeah, most people were not happy with around the eyes, what was going around the eyes. Because they look at themselves, they look at their eyes and they see the kind of the crow's feet, the skin on the upper eyelids, their brows, the forehead. And then gradually we're seeing now it going to the lower one third of the face with a jawline and neck.
Well, you're also forced to look at yourself more than we did before the pandemic. And I think that was part of it. And a lot of us, like myself included, didn't look so good during the pandemic.
Yes, very true.
Eating too much. Drinking too much, not feeling good, and also couldn't get my hair done. You know, it was a whole slew of little problems staring right back at me. So what are the current trends you're seeing in your practice besides, well, you just kind of said that, but what are some other ones that besides the facelifts and about the jawline? Like are there other trends?
In facial rejuvenation, there definitely is type of like gravity going down. The trend is going down from the upper face to the lower face. So the lips have always been point of aesthetic concern since the onset of Instagram and social media. You know, the influencer, so-called influencers, Kylie Jenner kind of brought the big lips into the aesthetic realm. So there's a huge trend towards bigger lips. And then, you know, again, with the influencers, Bella Hadid brought the fox eye, cat eye look. Now with the filters, we're getting more high cheek looks. And with the AI, we're looking at the neck and jawline. So that's with face, but with body, we're seeing more larger breasts. Again, this is with the AI showing the exaggerated anime type of appearance. So women are coming to me with requesting not the moderate profile breast implants, but they're actually asking more for the higher profile breast implant because they want the upper roundness of the breast. So again, this is up to the plastic surgeon to counsel their patients, talk to them about the longevity of the results. Whether it's the face or their body, to tell them that these results may be desirable in the first year or two, but is this something you want for the rest of your life?
Oh, and I thought that we were just finally getting off the breast implants, the large ones, so it looks like we're going back, huh?
Yeah, there definitely was a trend in the past 7 years or so for fakeness, and in the past 2 years, I would say it was back to normalcy, but now with AI coming again, I'm seeing all these people, you know, on their LinkedIn or the Instagram or whatever profile photos using their AI rendered photo. And so we're getting, again, this kind of distortion of what aesthetics normalcy should be.
I got to tell you, I've put my photo through AI. I did it once and I was, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I looked like a cartoon character.
But yeah, so did I.
Muscular built cartoon character.
it was just bizarre. I would not want to look like that on a regular basis. So what else have you seen social media, how else have you seen them affect plastic surgery?
Well, there's definitely a distortion of aesthetics, and there's definitely an increased amount of people asking for aesthetic procedures. And it's created social media related anxiety because of wanting or desiring to be what you aren't. So it's not just physical, but it's also mental, psychological stress on patients and people.
Yeah, I can see that. I myself have noticed that. I'm social media, and it's just picking up speed. It's just becoming so, and I have to spend time on it. And I've been finding on the weekends now, I just shut down. I don't look, I take it off. I need to. I want to spend quality time with people, not looking through life through my phone, you know?
So. Yeah, we've forgotten that there's a beautiful world out there. We're stuck on our phones, and we always, you know, I think the average, it's once every 20 seconds that average people that look on their phone or touch their phone. There's something crazy statistic about that. Go outside and go for a walk. Go plant a tree and then see how it grows and be grateful for the divine.
Yeah, I think you and I are both saying the same thing. It's sad. I mean, listen, I get Botox. I've got some stuff done. No doubt about it. I don't like seeing, you know, everything sliding. But to a point, I mean, I don't want to look, I'm not trying to look like I'm 30 again. I would just like to look.
Like you said in the beginning of this podcast, Lauren, there's aging gracefully. You know, you want to look your best, feel your best. But what you're saying is within the normalcy. So definitely that's, you have to seek the right person for you to give you that result and to be your guide in your aesthetic journey.
100%. Well said. I agree with everything you said. Well, this has been great. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I think we've gotten the AI, how it's affecting plastic surgery. And I'm sure if you and I spoke in a year, it's going to be a completely different conversation, aesthetic. It'll be a whole different look.
Yeah. I think we're going to be more in the virtual reality world.
God, which isn't a world, which isn't real.
Okay. Which is not real.
Not real. You know, that says something. Obviously, people that want to live in that world don't like the one they're living in in real life. And that is so sad to me, because you have one life, I'd want to live it to its fullest.
And absolutely. So we could end it on a positive note, because we are so lucky to be on this earth, where the chances 100%. Of just being alive, the chance of just the universe being created and the world being in the way it is to sustain life is one in the, I think, to the power of 17. Like it's unfathomed luck. And we're all super lucky to be here. So let's go out there and be grateful for what we have, even that small little wrinkle, and enjoy life.
Wear it proudly. It's a badge of honor. I mean, you went through a lot to get it. So. Yes. Why not? You know? Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sinnoh. This has been very eye-opening and slightly disturbing. But we're gonna end it on that note. So thanks, everybody. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out a lot. I have a new pro-aging podcast bi-weekly, so please contact Lauren at fountainof30.com for sponsorship opportunities. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And remember, at least keep one foot in reality. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.